Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am so excited to be bringing you my guest, Bonnie Hewitt. Bonnie is an unbreakable entrepreneur mom of four, overcoming trauma, anxiety, and chronic illness using mindset, intuition, and mentorship. She is also a coffee lover. Welcome to the show, Bonnie. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk to you today.
Yes. So could you tell us, what's your story? Where did you come from and how did you get to, be where you are today?
So I grew up a fairly tumultuous childhood and had some trauma early on when I was about 17. I was diagnosed with, unbeknownst to me, diagnosed with anxiety and depression and put on some meds, thinking that they were for my stomach. Had kids pretty young. I was 21 when I had my oldest, and not to date myself, but he's 21 now. I've got four kids, ages from 21 all the way down to 5.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'll be doing this momming thing for quite a while still. And after having my daughter in 2002, I struggled with postpartum depression. And that kind of kicked off a roller coaster of doctors, meds, and diagnoses. Internet was still kind of a baby back then, and I had blind trust in my doctor. And so I pretty much just did and took whatever he told me to without really questioning anything, which I don't recommend to anyone. Do your research, especially now that everybody's pretty much got the internet in their back pocket or handbag. Do your research, ask questions, lots of them, if something, especially if something doesn't feel right to you. And so I had my two older kids between 2000 and 2002, and then got really sick in 2011. I was paralyzed by a rare illness called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and temporarily paralyzed, but it started what I call the first part of my healing journey, which should have been a wake-up call and really wasn't till many years later. Really diverted me from the direction that I was heading. Let's just put it that way. I was a single mom at the time when I got sick. My husband and I had separated for several years. And I was working from home, managing my older son's care, and not really taking care of myself. And that was when work from home really wasn't a thing. I mean, people did it, but not too frequently. And it was definitely way more of a headache logistically than it is now. And I was working as an accountant. So, I mean, I love my job, but I wasn't taking care of myself. And I came down with this, or contracted, or however you actually get it, this rare illness that attacks your immune system and your central nervous system. And spent a couple of years just trying to even get back to somewhat of a baseline physically. I never quite made it all the way back to my physical baseline, if you will. I was diagnosed with several different other autoimmune illnesses over the past decade. I had two more children, and one in 2013 and one in 2016. They were my saving grace. The doctors did not really know what was wrong with me for a long time and told me to rest as much as possible. So I spent a lot of time on the couch. And anyone who's ever had anxiety or depression or the multitude of other diagnoses I had been given over 2 decades, that's not a great place to be when you're struggling with anxiety or depression. I kind of half joke that the one thing it did really help was it put my OCD into check, because I was no longer physically able to keep up with my old expectations and had to start learning how to ask for help. And that came with a healthy dose of let people do things their way as long as they're getting done.
That's so hard. I know. I, you know, when you bring up the OCD, I have OCD as well. And, you know, sitting on the couch with, you know, being told that you need to, you know, rest as much as possible and having these mental illnesses, I literally couldn't imagine somebody telling me that. Like, even now that I've gone through a healing journey, like, I'm like, no, like, I literally can't, because my mind just goes. And when you're sitting in silence, sometimes if you don't have the right mindset, like, you'll go down that dark path that's not good. But I, you know, asking for help can be really hard, especially when you have OCD, right? It's like, oh, but, you know, but no, like, I get it. Like, you're trying to help, but that's not how I would do it, you know? So
yeah,
totally yes. Relate to you.
Exactly. And I had to really start learning. And a lot of this is hindsight too. Like, I wasn't aware of a lot of these things as they were happening. I was very much trying to go back to my old life. Like, I was like, I had a career, I was taking care of my kids. My husband and I reconciled right around the time, right before I got sick, actually. And like, I'm talking like within a week or something, we were like, we're going to give this another shot. And then boom, this kind of came out of nowhere. And it was just, this whole thing was just kind of chaos, because he was headed to Texas to go work a different job, which is multiple hours away from where we are in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's far.
So when I came home, I'm a fighter. I just am by nature. I fought my way to get out of the hospital. I was working overtime as much as they would let me, as far as like learning to walk again, learning to talk again, learning. I mean, it's like having a stroke is what this does to your body. Wow. At least what it did to my body. Like, my left foot for the longest time just kind of like dragged along, and I'm like, all right, foot, like, I'm like mentally and like speaking out loud, like talking to my body parts, like, this is what you need to be doing. Yeah. And while that was good at that, you know, to have the mindset of a fighter, at the same time, it also caused me a lot of setbacks, because I wasn't taking certain medical advice that I probably should have been. And I don't think I've actually ever talked about this part to anyone before, but I was very much in denial, thinking that I was going to just force my way through this thing. And looking back, it probably got me out of the hospital faster. It got me home faster, but it definitely didn't do anything for the emotional and psychological healing that I really needed to do. And again, this is totally in hindsight, because I've probably never talked about it before, because I didn't realize it before, to be honest with you. So after having, with the fourth one on the way in 2016, total miracle baby, by the way, I wasn't supposed to have any more kids, and neither was my husband after the first two. He was even more of a miracle. I had surgery while I was pregnant, and they didn't know I was pregnant. So,
oh my goodness.
He is my little ball of fire miracle child, and is destined to do great things one day. But we were broke. I could not work a conventional job. My husband was working as much as he could, and I was like, we weren't expecting to have more, obviously. And I was like, okay, well, I gotta do something. And so that was when I started Posh Notions, which ended up being my branded apparel business. But it didn't start like that. It started out with a machine and like $25 worth of vinyl and an idea that I was going to make, you know, those decals you see on people's cars, like the stick figures and stuff.
Yeah.
On the
yeah.
I had a little bit of bigger vision than those, but like, I was working with, my husband used to compete in car audio. So I was going to make them for the team and start there and kind of like work my way up. Yeah. And it turned into an apparel business, because I started to say yes to things that I wasn't even sure I could do. So people were like, can you make this thing for me? I don't know, but let's give it a shot. And I found out that I really loved working with the clothing more than I did the solid objects, because being someone, I ended up with rheumatoid arthritis, so my hands didn't like to manipulate tiny sticky things.
Yeah, that's difficult.
Little forgiveness, but with the clothing, the stuff isn't it's not adhesive like that. It's heat adhesive. So you can move stuff around before you apply heat, and it was a lot more forgiving. But so yeah, that's how that got started. And it's really interesting that we're meeting now, because that evolved and took shape, and I got burned out multiple times. In fact, in 2017, which I call like the second part of my healing journey, I went into my psychiatrist after the millionth time, complaining about the same stuff, just saying, like, I'm raging about dishes, I'm angry, I'm snapping at the kids, you know, my anxiety's through the roof. And I was on like a dozen different psych meds at this point. And I was like, okay, now what? And he said something to the fact that he thought it was this medication I had been taking for like 15 years. And I was like, I'm done. I was like, I'm out. I was like, I don't know what possessed me that day, because 6 months prior to that, I was freaking out because I couldn't get my meds for logistical reasons. I think our car was broken down or something. I'm like, I can't live without these. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do. Yeah. And here 6 months later, I was like, I'm done with this. It was like, you know, 2 decades of up and down and back and forth and this med and that med. And I've tried several dozen different medications. And I'm just like, I quit. And it wasn't like I had a plan. You know what I mean? Like, I just walked out and I was done. And I was like, got home and I was like, okay, now what? But this really amazing thing happened where it was like, I tuned back into my intuition, took my power back, like all in the same moment. And also my personal responsibility for my own well-being. And that's really, really important for people to understand that even under a doctor's care, it is still your responsibility ultimately to speak up and advocate for yourself and not follow anyone blindly. And that was the mistake I had made for a really long time, was I felt like that he was the be-all, end-all. You know, he was this older guy had been doing this for a really long time. He was really, I mean, he was a great guy. Like, I hold no grudges or anything towards him whatsoever. But it still was my responsibility. I mean, the internet wasn't a baby anymore in 2017. Yeah. I could have been looking these things up, but I was so wrapped up in everything else that was going on around me still that I wasn't doing that for myself. And when I got home and was kind of like, okay, now what do I do? I was like, I guess I need to titrate, which is basically getting off of medication slowly and so that you're
not. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, did you get sick at all, you know, when you weaned your, I was going to ask you like how you were able to get off of your meds in a healthy way, because I've heard that, you know, if you just stop taking medications, it can be really detrimental. So
it can. Yeah. And after having several pregnancies, you know, with medication, like getting pregnant while I'm making medication and having to titrate off. And also just because certain things didn't agree with me, I learned that process and was super careful. And again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not recommending anybody do this. This was just my breaking point with the system. And why I call it the second part of my healing journey is because I opened myself up. It was like I made a request from the universe or said a prayer inadvertently and was like I need help. You know, I don't know what I'm doing and I need help. And all of a sudden the people and places and YouTube videos and like people I'd never heard of Tony Robbins before this. You know what I mean? Like all of these things just started kind of, it's like I opened this floodgate of holistic. And people who were studying mindset, people who were there's like this whole entrepreneurial culture that I didn't know anything about prior to this. And I got all of that support that I really needed. Even again, I'm not sure I really realized that at the time. I was kind of just going with the flow. And as I got off meds, the more I started feeling my way through things. And my intuition was like almost if it was unmasked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Medicine's just a tool to help you feel better. You need to reach out for other tools that will work for you and try different things to help heal the parts of you while the medicine's kind of making you feel a little better, take the edge off or whatever the, you know, the case is. Even with pain medicine, I take over-the-counter pain medicine, but I also know that if I am not stretching and exercising and working on my mindset, that the pain comes back with a vengeance and I have to take double and triple the amount of pain medications I have to take. So I kind of took a little tangent right there.
That's okay. I agree with you. Yeah, you know, with meds, like when you were saying, like they're a tool, right? Like these are all tools, but, you know, medication, you know, I believe it has its place too, like you said, but at, you know, at the same time, like it can be really scary if you're not, like you said earlier, like you have to advocate for yourself and make sure that what you're putting into your body is actually going to help you, and also make sure that there is a process to wean you off of it so that when you get to the point where you feel stronger, you can start stepping down and be able to be free of the medication, because everything has side effects, right? You need to be really careful who you trust. And also beyond that, just making sure that you're doing your due diligence. Yes, that's right. You know, and making sure what you're doing is good for you in the moment.
Right.
And trusting your intuition.
Right. Good for you is what is the most important thing, because I've also taken multiple different meds for my rheumatoid arthritis and learned that, well, I had severe reactions to all of them, but the last one I took, I stopped taking in 2019. And it was an injectable biologic drug that was supposed to basically not cure me, but like basically put me out of pain, reduce all my symptoms, keep me from having a flare up, all of these different things. And about 6 months into it, I was having all kinds of issues, but I was trying to give it a chance to, like, I really, really wanted it to work. Yeah. And I was speaking up to my doctor, you know, I'm having anxiety attacks again. And once you've had a history, like I did with anxiety, anytime you bring it up, they brush you off. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I haven't had an anxiety attack in a year and a half, 2 years, because I got off the meds and I felt better off of them than I did on them. But I was getting brushed off. And finally, I told her too, I was like, enough is enough. And here I found out that you're not even supposed to take that kind of drug when you've had Guillain-Barré. You're not supposed to take anything. Like, I can't get any kind of vaccinations, like no flu shots, no, and I'm not even going to get into politics with COVID, but yeah. I can't do like a COVID vaccination, none of these things, because it basically can kill me because of the way this other thing has already affected my immune system. But again, that goes back to, you need, like I didn't learn my lesson enough with a psychiatrist. I really had to dig to find the information about this, because it wasn't something you would see on a commercial at that point, you know, don't take this if you've had blah, blah, blah. But all of that to say, when I stepped up and said, I take back my personal responsibility, I take back my power, even if I wasn't saying it out loud and really didn't know what I was doing at the time, I was able to change the course of my entire life, because I was now the one, using my intuition to guide me. I don't want to say I took that I was in control, because I very much believe that in my experience, I'm learning that the universe, God, whoever you believe in, that's a, you know, whatever your higher power for you is, kind of directs us and guides us if we're open to it. Yeah. And of course, as humans, we have free will and we can go a different direction. But I find things go a lot smoother and a lot easier when I'm asking for some kind of guidance if I'm feeling stuck, and actually listen look for signs, or, you know, and when I'm fighting that and trying to control every little detail of everything that's happening all the time, and trying to force things to happen, that I have all the problems. This is part of what I help my clients with now, is learning the difference between the things that we can control and the things that we can't necessarily control, but how we can learn to control our responses, not reactions, to those things that are not within our control, so that we still have control of ourselves.
Yes.
So especially, so I coach, I'm an anxiety coach now. I made this transition.
That's awesome.
Over the past several months. And when you're running around trying to control everyone and everything, you're literally running an uphill, never ending battle.
Unfortunately. That's the truth. That is the truth. Like you said, you know, when you try to control everything, like it overcomes everything. And, you know, we can only control how we react to situations.
Absolutely.
You can't control what your husband or wife's going to do. You can't control what your boss is going to do. You can't control what someone's going to say on the internet. But what you can control is how you choose to react to it. And that was one of the hardest lessons I had to learn too, because I suffer from anxiety, depression, OCD. You know, my list is quite extensive as well. And just realizing that, like, okay, like I can't control everything. So now what do I do? And then building those boundaries in your life and deciding who you are and trusting yourself, like that right there that you keep coming back to. Like I talk about that all the time too. Like we have to trust ourselves, because at the end of the day, we know what's best for us. We all have that capability.
Absolutely. And I like to take it even one step further. And I know this isn't for everyone, but it's really trusting. And when we're trusting in our intuition, we're trusting in this kind of source of information that we're getting from somewhere else that's kind of mm-hmm. leading us in a specific direction. And so we're again, we have free will and we're the ones carrying out those different actions, but that messaging is coming from somewhere else that knows better than we do. And like always has our back too. Like it's not going to steer us. When you're listening to your intuition, it's not going to steer you wrong. It's really important to me. It's why we get those gut feelings about things. I mean, it really does become a physical guidance almost, because you can feel the pang in your stomach. You feel the pang in your chest going, hey, pay attention to me. I'm trying to show you something, steer you away from something negative or steer you in the direction of something that's going to help you. But we have to be open to it, right? We have to be open to it and trust that that's it's for our best. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that, you know, and I agree too that, you know, listening to ourselves and that feeling that you get, like I know throughout like the majority of my life up until 2 years ago when I had my transformation, like I never listened to myself. I never did. I lost myself because I was like, oh, like I have to do what he or she says I should do, because if I don't, they won't accept me. You know, and that's, you know, at the end of the day, we have to accept and love ourselves first, because nothing else is as important as that. Because if we don't love and accept ourselves, how can we do anything for ourselves that's good? Or how can we accept love, like real love into our lives, like not the toxic love that, you know, I know a lot of us listening, myself included, that we're used to, you know. And then, you know, once you get rid of it, though, I know for me at least, like the drama's gone and you're just like, wait.
Yes.
Like there's something missing. Yes. And that sometimes is hard to deal with, you know. So.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many people fell away. One, when I got sick, and then two, when I started basically having kids again. And like all of my friends, like their kids were the same ages as my older kids or even older than that. And at first I was like, well, why aren't they coming to me? Like I always used to go to them, and I was getting upset. And then I realized that this is such a blessing. Like no more 4-hour conversations about why this one's still trying to be involved with that one, who has shown her 1400 times that he can't be faithful. And I'm like, I don't have to deal with this. And it was so. There's so much interference in that, first of all. And second of all, it's draining, and we don't realize it, because some of us, unfortunately, grew up with a lot of chaos in our lives. When things get quiet, it feels really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to us is comforting in some kind of weird, twisted way, unfortunately. Until we learn, like you said, that self-love and those boundaries and the quiet is okay. Quiet's actually really good for you. And we're the only ones that are with us from beginning to end 100% of the time. Like all of these other people, even your children and your spouse and, you know, your mother and father still don't spend 100% of the time with you.
Yeah. Like, right.
You know, like we've got to have our own backs and not everybody's going to agree with you 100% of the time. In fact, most people aren't going to agree with you 100% of the time, but that doesn't mean that you still shouldn't do, you know, what's best for you, as long as, of course, you're not harming anybody else in the process.
Yeah.
And not talking to people is not harming them. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Distancing yourself from people who are causing you grief is not harming them, even though they would like to tell you differently.
They will too. They will be like, why aren't, you know, like if you don't answer the phone, you know, for a couple of days when they call, then you get all the backlash of, well, you never answer or you're ignoring me. And it's like, now if that happens, I just say, okay. Like,
yeah,
don't know what to tell you. Like, okay, cool. You know, because yeah. it's protecting yourself. You know, it's like, because if someone's toxic, no matter who they are, you know, family or whatever, you know, you have to be able to have those boundaries in place to protect your happiness, your mindset, your energy, so to speak. Like, you have to be able to do that. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's still, you know, I don't know about you, Bonnie, but for me, it's still, you know, I have moments where I don't always have great days, you know, but now I have those tools and mechanisms to get me back to positive so that I don't fall back into a deep depression like I used to. Like, there's things that have happened to me recently that would have knocked me out before.
Absolutely. And that's how you know that one way, I should say, that you know you're making progress, because I've gone through this, these past 6 months have been, I mean, besides forget the pandemic, and we had a fire, we had an accident, oh. We had, you know, somebody was at my, I'm not going to get into details because it's terrible, but somebody at my home that got fairly severely injured. And it was just like back to back. But I realized looking back that all of these different things, as much as they kind of sucked, they're opportunities for growth. And I know that's really, that's another step in the transformation and healing journey, is being able to look at everything as a lesson or an opportunity for growth, even not necessarily always in the moment. Like, some of this stuff just sucks. Like, it just really yeah. does.
Yeah.
But if we're able to be, even just, and I know a lot of people don't like hearing this, but embracing the fear. Like, I had a really big lesson about just letting the fear flow through, like let it visit, tell you what it has to say, and then flow through. That was not something I had ever done before. I mean, we had a fire that with explosions, and my son, son escaped narrowly. And all I could think of is like, how did I, well, besides all the gratitude that he was okay and all the people that came to our rescue, that was my first thing, was just massive gratitude for everyone that came to help. But after that, I kind of had to reconcile this fear of like, how did I chalk this into my life? I thought I was on the right path. Like, you know, mm-hmm. all of these different things. And it turned into a lesson. And so Gabby Bernstein has a book called The Universe Has Your Back, Transforming Fear to Faith. And right after this incident happened, I happened to see it hanging out on the top of my china cabinet. I had it for like a year, but I hadn't read it yet. And it was like perfect timing. Like, I was just finally ready for those messages from her. And sitting with the fear, that's what this forced me to do, was just sit with it and kind of let it do its thing. And then yeah. say, thank you for showing me what I need to be aware of. And then let it go. Because normally, anytime something stressful like that would happen, I would go into a full body flare that would last anywhere from a few days to several months. Because I was just trapping everything by resisting it and fighting it and saying, I'm not going to feel this fear. Like, I'm not acknowledging the fear. Like, all of these different ways that we kind of trap these emotions in our bodies. And I got 3-4 days out from, my 4 or 5 days actually out from the fire. Like, it was like on a Friday, and realized that my body wasn't hurting. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, finally, been dealing with this for a decade now. I was like, I did something different. Like, I finally was able to truly let go, like almost in real time. It was really kind of an incredible experience, and haven't had a flare up since then. In fact, I found out in August, one day after the 10-year anniversary of me getting the Guillain-Barré, that my fibromyalgia was gone. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? I was like seeing my, you know, I was at my rheumatologist, and the first thing I said to her was, I can teach this to people. I was like so excited that like all of my pain was not for naught. Like I had learned the lessons I needed to learn, and I now had something that I could work on, you know, kind of putting together all of the different ways I've healed my body through diet and, you know, nutrition, all the mindset stuff, tons and tons and tons of mindset work. That's really like one of the biggest, is probably, you know, the biggest key pieces to putting our lives back together, especially after trauma or even a lifelong history of depression or anxiety, is that mindset piece and shifting our perspective. And she kind of turned and looked, she's right, you know, in her notes, and kind of looked at me and was like, yeah, I guess you can. And I was just like, that was, of all the stuff that we talked about that day in the doctor's office, and like, got to run all these tests on my spine and this, and I was like super excited that I could like help other people with this. And it's just, that also goes back to taking care of yourself, listening to yourself, doing what's best for you. Because without all of those other pieces, your ability to help other people is very limited. Like I know there's a lot of us, especially moms, who overgive of ourselves. And yes, I'm now saying overgive because I was one of those moms where my kids came first and I came last and they had everything they needed and I was wearing rags. And it was like, not that I'm out, you know, and I'm not condemning it either, but I don't like luxury bags and this and that and the other, but like, and leaving them in rags or something. But it's about taking care of our own, you know, emotional well-being, our own mental well-being, our own physical well-being. Because I've definitely, I mean, I wasn't supposed to come home from the hospital with the Guillain-Barré. I wasn't supposed to wake up. Like there's all these different things. And because I wasn't taking care of myself. And if I'm not here, and of course my husband would be taking care of them, but like I can't help anybody if I'm not here on the planet, like at all.
Right. Yeah.
Not in any capacity. So it's just a really, that's the thing that keeps coming up for me, and I still get reminded every once in a while. Sometimes I have to learn that lesson again, where I start worrying about somebody else's emergency or urgency that's not really mine, and trying to handle that and realize, okay, I need to take a step back, and I'm sorry, this is something you're dealing with. And I don't mean like medical emergency. I'm talking about these things that people make like your problem that really aren't your problem, and then you're the helper, so you've got to jump in and help. And I've learned, I start to kind of feel this weird icky way, like I can't even specifically describe it to anybody, but it just feels off. And that's my key, my hint, you know fluorescent sign to stop whatever it is I'm doing, and say, I can help you with this when I'm done doing this for myself.
Right. Yeah. That's a boundary that you have in place that, you know, it's great that you're able to stick to it. Cause I know like a lot of times, like before I would say, oh, I have a boundary, but then never like actually stick to it, I guess would be the, you know, you just like, oh, well, just this once, I'll do it just this once. And then that just, then the boundary just goes away. Right. But, you know, just to, you know, finish this conversation out, could you let us know, Bonnie, what's your number one tip for our listeners to let the good things into their lives?
I'm hoping this doesn't sound super cryptic, but you can't let life get in the way of living. So when all of these things are kind of coming at you from all angles, like you really still have to remember, you know, even if it just means, even if self-care one day just looks like brushing your teeth and washing your face, even if that looks like 2 minutes of meditation, if that's your thing, versus 20, things are going to be coming at you always. And you're going to be much better equipped to deal with whatever that it is or looks like for you if you're doing your own self-care. And I'm talking super basic things, especially people with chronic illness like myself. Getting a shower was sometimes the only thing that I could do for the entire day. Like way back in the beginning, we did something called energy conservation, and getting a shower was like, okay, that's it. The rest of the day, I'm not doing anything that's physical. So again, whatever that looks like for you, just don't let life get in the way of you know, living.
So. I love that. Thank you. And Bonnie, just you know, for our listeners, where can they connect with you?
So I am still making a transition with all of my social media. So you can still find me at Posh Notions everywhere on social media. And there's a website that still goes with that. But my new website is BonnieRoseTheACoach.com. And that's where you can find everything I'm doing with anxiety coaching. I just released a brand new coaching program, my first called 21 Days to Calm Anxiety. And I'm also working on some other things right now to get people a little more immediate help on my website. So
awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, Bonnie.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And, you know, just as a reminder to everyone listening, remember, you're stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to you all soon.